Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is underway. Live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. I am the captain of this ship, your host, Al Martin, on this hump day edition of Current Sports. I know, Spartan fans, it's early. I mean, I'm sitting here on November 28th, 2018, addressing you all. And, of course, we're going to dive into the men's college basketball game that was Michigan State last night. I know it's early, you know, and Tom Izzo's teams progressively get better as the year goes on. We all know that. But you will be lying to yourself if you sat on the comfort of your couch last night and watched that game, and after the dust settled, when overtime revealed a Louisville win, you will be lying to yourself if you felt good about that loss for Michigan State. Or if you said to yourself, well, it's only November. Michigan State, multiple opportunities to win that game last night, and I do mean multiple. I'll comb through some of the big, glaring moments where Michigan State could have put the foot on the throat of the Cardinal fans, and they did not. A bit alarming, if you ask me. And there's one player, I've been reading all of the coverage from this morning in the paper and watching, you know, recap videos online, and there is one player that I think is getting off the hook today. And I just don't understand why. I'll give you the name of that player in just a moment when I give you my takeaways from last night's Michigan State loss in the Big Ten ACC Challenge at the KFC Yum Center. I love that name. So don't miss that conversation, trust me. And I promise you, folks, today we will have Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program, on our program at 1:30, all right? We were scheduled to have him on yesterday. Some things came up, and barring, you know, some kind of earthquake or a snowstorm that happens to knock out the phone power lines or Armageddon, barring all of that, we will have Damon on the show to talk about the Elite Eight appearance of his Michigan State men's soccer team in the Elite Eight. Back-to-back years that Damon and his squad have now made the Elite Eight. It's quite remarkable. Mind-blowing, if you ask me. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about the college football playoff rankings, which were revealed last night, I believe just prior to tip time of the Louisville and MSU men's basketball game. U of M is now out of the top four, as predicted, right, losing to Ohio State the way they did last weekend on Saturday at Ohio Stadium. So we'll comb through that as well. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the show. I want to know, for those who watched last night's Michigan State and Louisville men's basketball game, what are your impressions of this team right now? What are your thoughts when it comes to the blown opportunities, multiple blown opportunities that led to that Spartans L last night? I want to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. That's where we have the live stream up and running, and you can tweet the show. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. right, it's time for your quick hit headliners, and joined live in studio with me for the second from final time, I should say, because next week will be the final week that our current sports PAs and reporters of the Journalism 418 class, next week will be the final week that they will be joining us. A bit bittersweet, without a doubt, especially these two brothers who join me live here in Studio S to help out with the quick hit headliners. We start with Trevor Toslosky, who has a recap of what happened last night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge game for Michigan State and Louisville. Trevor, tell us about the bad news.
Well, Ryan McMahon made two free throws with 7.1 seconds remaining in overtime before Jordan Nwara made another from the line with 3.1 seconds left to seal it as Louisville upset number 9 Michigan State 82-78 last night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. McMahon scored all 7 of his points in the extra session from the line to finish with a career-high 24. Nwara's clinching free throw followed his three-pointer with 2:05 left. That gave the Cardinals, now 4-2 in the season, the lead for good in an exciting matchup that ended a two-game slide and gave first-year coach Chris Mack his first significant win with the program.
Again, as I stated, we'll have more on that loss for Michigan State in just a moment. Adam Mackey also in the his house. The Big Ten ACC Challenge continues tonight. This time, John Beilein's Wolverines will be in action tonight. Right, Adam?
Yes, sir. The Michigan Wolverines will host North Carolina in the ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight. Tar Heels lead the series overall 4-2, but actually have never played in Ann Arbor before. I thought that was very interesting when I was looking that up. The Wolverines hold opponents to just 73.4 points per 100 possessions, the second best mark in the country behind Nebraska's 72.6. For 6 games, the Wolverines haven't let a single opponent score more than 61 points. For reference, Michigan's football team gave up 62 points to Ohio State this past weekend. 4 of their opponents didn't break the half-century mark, including number 8 Villanova, which shot 31.8% and had 19 turnovers while losing 73-46. But UNC has the number 10 offense in the country, scoring at a rate of 122.2 points per 100 possessions. Villanova is the only team Michigan has faced with an offensive efficiency ranked in the top 100, which is 111 points per 100 possessions.
All right, that should be a fun game tonight. Again, Michigan and North Carolina. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team partaking in the Women's College Basketball Big Ten ACC Challenge. Trevor, who will Susie Merchant's troops take on tonight?
Tonight, the 4-1 Spartan women will take on the 2-4 Virginia Cavaliers tonight at the Breslin Center. Tip is scheduled for 7 p.m. Spartans are coming off a 75-51 win on Black Friday over Kennesaw State, while Virginia has lost 2 straight over the weekend to Central Michigan and St. Louis.
Yeah, the first time the Michigan State women's basketball team has played Virginia since 1990. I will be at the Breslin Center tonight. You can catch post-game coverage of that matchup later on, courtesy of WKAR.org. Adam Mackey, Kenny Willekes has received an honor from the Big Ten Conference. What is that?
Yes, sir. After leading the Big Ten with 20.5 tackles for loss during the regular season, Michigan State junior defensive end Kenny Willekes has been named the 2018 Smith-Brown Defensive Lineman of the Year. Willekes is the second Spartan to win the award. Shalique Calhoun in 2013 was the first, which is named after MSU's Bubba Smith and Penn State's Courtney Brown and given to the Big Ten's most outstanding defensive lineman. Willekes was also named to the All-Big Ten first team by both the coaches and the media, while junior linebacker Joe Bocci was a first-team selection by the coaches, and sophomore place kicker Matt Coughlin was a first-team honoree by the media. MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio has produced 40 first-team All-Big Ten selections during his 12-year tenure in East Lansing.
Yeah, quite the year Kenny Willekes has had. Also, as I mentioned, the University of Michigan football program is now down to number 7 in the most recent edition of the college football playoff rankings, which were revealed last night. Ohio State moved up 4 spots to number 6. We kind of predicted U of M would drop following that 62-39 dismantling at the hands of Ohio State. More on the playoff rankings later on this hour. Also, Eastern Michigan University has brought back a women's sport. What is that, Adam?
Yes, Eastern Michigan University is reinstating its women's tennis team after a lawsuit filed by 2 former athletes. The university announced in March that it was dropping softball, men's swimming and diving, women's tennis, and wrestling at the end of the spring season, but 2 former athletes sued, alleging Title IX laws banning sex discrimination were violated. The university had said the moves were made due to budget cuts. A federal judge ordered a preliminary injunction in September, ruling that financial hardship is not a defense for a Title IX violation. EMU said in a statement yesterday that it continues to work productively with the plaintiffs and the court, and that it has hired a tennis coach and is working to bring back that sport back this morning, or this spring.
Yeah, there you have that. Yeah, a lot of drama out in Ypsilanti concerning the Title IX violation in EMU and its budget and cutting, one of those sports being women's tennis. So good to see that sport back now. Also, my Detroit Pistons, good things happen when Blake Griffin heads to the basket, and that allowed the Detroit Pistons to roll to another victory last night. Griffin didn't make a three-point shot, but he still delivered another all-star caliber performance in the Pistons' 115-108 win over the New York Knicks last night. He scored 30 points as the red, white, and royal blue won their third straight, all at home, and seventh in the last nine games. Griffin scored 13 third-quarter points and fouled out rookie Mitchell Robinson before the quarter ended. He has reached the 30-point mark six times this season, and Reggie Jackson also added 21 points, all coming in the first half. And how about the Detroit Red Wings in action tonight? Trevor, tell us more.
Yeah, the 10-11-3 Detroit Red Wings take on the 8-11-3 St. Louis Blues tonight, 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. The game will be televised both on Fox Sports Detroit and NBC Sports Network. The Red Wings are coming off a 7-5 defeat to the Columbus Blue Jackets on Monday night.
All right. We'll see if the Wings can continue this resurgence, if you will. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to dial. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream and tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Weird. And that's how we start today's current sports. First off, I want to say thank you to you all for tuning in and making us a part of your Wednesday afternoon. And second off, I want to say, Spartan fans, it's okay to be angry on this Wednesday, November 28th, because you should be. I mean, this is a team in Louisville that I don't really know how good they're going to be. I mean, some people coming into this year didn't even think that Louisville, and still don't think that Louisville, will make the NCAA tourney. They're unranked coming into this matchup against a top 10 program in Michigan State, a game that the Spartans should have won. And they go out there, the thing goes to overtime, and they ended up losing a close one. And I don't know what it is, but these starts are just killing Michigan State right now. I mean, Michigan State, in this 82-78 overtime loss on the road. And by the way, the first true road test, I kept stressing that on yesterday's Current Sports. I mean, Louisville is not an easy environment to play in, as you saw last night. I mean, those fans, they are diehard college basketball fans. They love that Louisville men's basketball program. And you know it was going to be loud. It was going to be ruckus. How would the Spartans respond? They didn't respond great. You know, they looked mentally off kilt. Simple as that, folks. I mean, 82-78, your final. MSU and these starts. I mean, MSU dug itself an early 20-11 hole midway through the first half. And they've done this, folks. I mean, just look at the championship game against Texas. It had to become a miraculous comeback for Michigan State to pull out that win because they came out the gates uninspired, not focused whatsoever, and they opened the door for the opposition to kind of pounce. And we saw that happen the exact same way against Texas the way it did last night. Now, moments are huge, and I think Tom Izzo, you know, he really put things in perspective when he said, look, you know, and he kind of sounded like Coach D'Antonio, right? The inches. It's all about the inches. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, Michigan State had numerous opportunities to shut the door in this game. And it came down to the little things, the fundamental things. And Michigan State just consistently, you know, time after time, came up short. And I'll bring up a few moments here that really stood out to me. And I'm going to really harp on one player in particular who has to show up. He has to show up because when he does not, most likely Michigan State is going to lose. And I think he's getting kind of a hall pass today. I've heard him barely brung up in post-game recounts of the game and video recaps of what happened last night. I think he's really getting off the hook. I'll get to that player in just a moment, but you talk about moments. First off, the big glaring absence for Michigan State prior to tip-off kind of shocked me when I heard the news that Cueto, Matt McQuaid, didn't even make the trip. He has a bruised thigh, and he didn't even play. Didn't even make the trip. He was at home watching that game, and you really saw, for all of those, now I get it, you know, many out there criticize Matt McQuaid, think that he's kind of a subpar player, but you know, you really, when you really look at that game last night, you see what Matt McQuaid brings to the table that really no other player on this MSU roster can bring to the table. Cassius Winston said it very nicely in the post-game chat in the locker room that Matt McQuaid is a solid player who does it all. He goes out there and he guards the best offensive player. He goes out there and you can more than likely depend on him to give you a good 10 to 12 points and can knock down the three ball. He gives you that kind of a game. And also he gives you an extra ball handler when Cassius Winston is out of the game for whatever reason. I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, I don't think that Matt McQuaid is the greatest ball handler in the history of college basketball, not by any stretch of the imagination, but Matt McQuaid makes good decisions with the basketball, all right? You don't expect Matt McQuaid to come into the basketball game and assist there and assist here and knocking down a three there. I'm not saying he's a complete game changer, but Matt McQuaid is solid. And more than anything, defensively, Matt McQuaid is one of the best defensive players on this Michigan State men's basketball team, and they desperately needed that part of his game last night, coupled with the fact that they didn't really have another ball handler who made smart decisions in the basketball game when Cassius Winston fouled out with still an eternity left. With 4 minutes left in a tight game, your playmaker, your guy in Cassius Winston fouls out the game. So who did Tom Izzo turn to? Foster Lawyer. And I think we're stuck because, you know, many of you, like myself, have been wondering why Foster hasn't been playing a lot of minutes. Why hasn't Tom Izzo really given Foster more minutes to go out there and make some things happen and fairly evaluate him? And I think that, you know, Tom Izzo hasn't liked what he's seen from Foster in practice. And I think that's shown light in last night's game. You know, Foster, he's small. Stating the obvious, right? You can see that when he's out there on the basketball court. And he does not play defense. That's pretty obvious as well. That was the big knock on him in high school when he played for Clarkson. Great scorer, great shooter, but he doesn't play a lick of defense. And Foster did not play a lick of defense last night. You know, Trevor brought up McMahon last night, who, I mean, it was one of those nights, right? I mean, McMahon came out the gates, and you just kind of felt like this is going to be a long, long night. And when the game was tight, Cassius on the bench, Foster in, Foster matched up with McMahon. I mean, how about that big three-pointer, right? Foster didn't close out at all. At all, and you could see the anger on Izzo's face. And I'm just sitting there saying, yep, that's Foster Lawyer. He doesn't play defense. Didn't close out, you know, on McMahon for that three. Then he had the bad pass to the corner to Kenny Goins after a pump fake that led to a turnover. And, you know, I'm not even going front. I keep it all the way 100 with you guys. You know, Izzo, he rode Foster so much when he was in that game, and justifiably so. I mean, Foster, he made some bad plays. And it seemed like, you know, you saw that look on Foster Lawyer's face last night. It seemed like he was just overthinking things. And when I saw Foster Lawyer pass up that three, a beautiful pump fake to get the defender in the air, he had the shot. I can't lie. You know what I thought? I'm like, man, maybe that's the Tom Izzo syndrome. Maybe that's Foster overthinking things so much, trying to please Izzo, that he's thinking about making the right pass instead of looking for his own offense. Because we know, I mean, Tom Izzo, that's his coaching style, right? Share the basketball. I think Foster was trying to be too unselfish there. And again, I'm just throwing something at the wall there, just something to think about. It's something that I thought about when I saw that play. But then 36 seconds left. MSU up by one. Lawyer at the line. Folks, this is a man who made 90% of his free throws while at Clarkston High School. The second best mark in the state's history. Folks, Foster Lawyer is a young man who once made 119 straight free throws. That's a state record. Foster's at the line. MSU up by one. A chance to stretch the lead, give Michigan State some kind of breathing room, and he misses the back iron of a 1-1. Can't make this stuff up, folks. You know, there was an element to that game where it's just like, man, you never see that. Oh, my goodness. I mean, what was that? I mean, glaring things happened last night that you just could not explain. Foster does not miss free throws, and he missed key free throws there. Josh Langford. Decision-making has to be better. Josh had stretches where he looked great, especially when overtime began and he hits that beautiful pull-up jump shot, 15-footer. That's his game, that mid-range jumper. Josh finished with 15 points. And again, he played great in stretches. But decision-making, the inches Izzo talked about, they didn't win the inches last night. After Lawyer missed that free throw, Louisville missed a three ball on the other end. Langford grabs the ball, dribbles right into a trap while trying to get the ball past the timeline. He then throws a bad pass, trying to find, I believe it was Kenny Goins on that play, and turns the ball over with 13 seconds left on the ticker. What was that? I mean, and then, you know, then I saw, I couldn't believe this either. After the game, I'm reading all this post-game write-up. Langford tells the media, I didn't know it. We had a timeout.
I had no idea. Disrespectful for you to say something like that.
Stephen A., I'm being real, brother. Langford tells the media after the game that I didn't know we had a timeout during that play. Izzo also told the media, I didn't tell my team how many timeouts we had. No excuse, though. Your players should know, especially your leaders, your veteran leaders. You should know how many timeouts. Don't go Chris Webber on us, Josh. I mean, come on, dude. I couldn't believe that. Kenny Goins, who got poked in the eye, another key moment. The inches, folks. Multiple moments for MSU to close this thing out. Kenny Goins got poked in the eye. I couldn't believe that Louisville actually fouled him. I'm sitting there saying, yep. Game over, but Kenny Goins isn't a great free throw shooter. But I'm sitting there saying, all right, you can give your team some breathing room here. Kenny Goins, who I thought rushed the whole thing, too, and TV Teddy Valentine, we haven't seen him this season, right? I mean, because TV Ted is no longer doing Big Ten games. We saw him last night. It's an ACC Big Ten game. I was shocked to see Teddy TV. But you know what? Ted, he actually was trying to look out for Kenny Goins. If you watch that play closely, you know what Ted Valentine did? He said, hold on. Are you sure? You want to take some time? You sure, Kenny, you want to shoot this free throw right now? I was shocked. Ted even looked at Izzo like, is he all right? You sure you want to? Is he good to shoot this free throw? Kenny rushed it. And you can see the eye swelling. I just saw Creed 2. He looked like Michael B. Jordan in the last scene of Creed 2. I mean, that eye just swelling.
Spoilers.
Well, come on now. We all know it's going to be an eye swelling in any Rocky movie, right?
Yeah, Jeff? You're right.
It's like every Rocky movie. But, you know, his eye swelling by the moment. Kenny says, I got this. Goes to the line and misses the free throw. Inches, folks. Cassius Winston, he's the captain of this ship, you know, and when he's in, good things happen. And he is your playmaker. He is the calm to the storm. And it was a storm last night when it got down and dirty. And they didn't have him, you know. He played 18, just to show you how much Tom Izzo doesn't trust Foster Lawyer. Cassius Winston, 18 first half minutes. Played all of just 2 minutes in that first half. And then you know what? He started the second half playing 16 straight minutes. Did not have a rest until he fouled out with 4 minutes left. Cassius knows that he's going to play a lot of minutes, and he is the guy in those clutch situations. You can't foul out, Cassius. This is a lesson to you as well. You can't foul out because I don't trust. Looking at Foster now and looking at also Matt McQuaid being out, who can you trust with the basketball at the point guard position right now? You can't trust anybody but Cassius Winston. Two positive notes. Kyle Arnes, solid job stepping in the absence of Cueto. 15 points in 41 minutes. That's impressive. Kenny Goins, who I also just mentioned with, you know, other than the getting poked in the eye and missing that free throw, he had 17 rebounds. Trevor just told me an interesting stat. In the last 20 years, Kenny Goins is the only player to have 17 rebounds without one shot attempt. There you have that. Take that stat for what it's worth. But the guy I really want to harp on before we hit this first break and bring on Damon Rensing, where in the world is Nick Ward? Nobody's talking about this. I don't understand how nobody is talking about this. That's the elephant in the room, folks. This is the NBA pro prospect, right? That everybody's, you know, hyping up. Nick Ward dipping his foot in the NBA draft lottery, right? Getting that feedback, returning. Nick Ward going to be the centerpiece, the foundation of this Spartan basketball team. Nick Ward was horrible last night. I'm going to keep it all the way 1,000 with you guys. Nick Ward has not been great in the last couple games. Five of eight for Nick Ward. Looking at the game last night, 14 points. But, you know, you look at those 14 points, they weren't in key moments. They weren't in moments where you're like, all right, MSU really needs a bucket here or MSU really needs a stop. Nick Ward looked average. And he has looked average to me the last two games. I'm not even going front with you guys. Nick has to play better. He is that guy that everybody talked about and has been talking about this year who needs to step up. And, you know, he's lost weight and, you know, his offensive game is improving. He's more versatile. I'm not seeing that right now. Nick, you have not showed up. And if Nick Ward plays better last night in that game against an unranked Louisville basketball team, Michigan State wins. Simple as that. But it just blows my mind how nobody is talking about Nick. Maybe because some people out there are just looking at Nick and are saying to themselves, this is what you get when you talk about Nick Ward. This is how Nick has played throughout his MSU career. He'll play great in spurts and then kind of go ghost on you. And you won't see Nick Ward impacting the game late in the second half when it is tight, when it is close. Nick Ward, you have to show up, and you didn't. Due to time, I got to hit this first break right now. Jody, I see you. Hang tight, brother. But we got to get to our guest for today's current sports, Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program, the Elite Eight-bound MSU men's soccer program. Well, welcome Damon to the show. Also, I want to continue to take your calls. I know, Jody, you want to weigh in on what happened with Michigan State and Louisville last night. If you want to weigh in just like Jody will be, 517-355-WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State falling to Louisville in men's college basketball, the Big Ten ACC Challenge. By the way, what's the count? Jack, do you know the count right now when it comes to the Big Ten ACC Challenge? Who won? Is it like, I think it's like 5-3 or 4-3, something like that? I could be totally wrong on that, but let's double check that. But before we get to Damon Rensing, who's waiting oh so patiently on the phone line, I want to get to Jody from Canada that wants to weigh in on the MSU men's basketball loss to Louisville. Jody, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Al?
I'm doing well, my friend. Happy Wednesday.
Quick, man, because I know, you know, the Spartan soccer team, and best of luck to you, coach. You know, I'm back from the days of Buku, Henderson, and Joe Baum. That's back in the 70s, you know, when I attended Michigan State. But I just wanted to say about the game last night. The first half, they didn't show up. You know, Nick Ward, you said he got 8 shots. I mean, a big man can only get shots if the guards post send it to him in the post, unless he's grabbing them off the board, offensive rebounds. So somewhere they have to feed the post. Also, if the guys didn't know how many fouls, I mean, how many timeouts were left, that not only goes to your coach, that goes to the assistants and them 82 people sitting on the sideline. Somebody should know, because all you really got to do is look up on the scoreboard and see what it says, TOs left.
Right, exactly.
I mean, so there's no excuse that somebody should have known and should have said in anybody's huddle, unless basketball's gotten that knuckleheadish that you don't even mention at the end of the game, we got 2 timeouts left.
Right.
That was one of the first things you learned in third grade basketball.
Exactly.
Okay, maybe it's all changed now. But also, like I said, I thought Foster Lawyer did all right considering he hadn't been playing at all.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I mean, that boy was sitting on the bench playing on the scout team. He got out there and tried to bring rain. I'd rather, you know, him missing the free throw, go back to 1985 Mark Brown when he missed that free throw against Kansas that would have sent Michigan State to the regional finals when the clock stopped for 15 seconds. A freshman. You got a young buck. I don't care if he's Hawkeye Brown shooting free throws. A freshman, it gets a little tight.
Good points, Jody. Appreciate the call. Always good hearing from you, man.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow when you got a little more time. All right, take care.
You got it. Please call back again. Jody calling from another country out in Canada. Always been one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite callers here on WKAR's Current Sports. And you know, yeah, 119 straight, though. I just, that's the game of basketball sometimes, man. I think the pressure got to Foster Lawyer. You know, he's a freshman. Got to keep that in mind, right? He did have a big drive going to the left baseline, though. I don't remember that shot, Jack?
Yeah, it was a big-time finish.
Big-time finish, off the glass, falls on his bum. Really nice shot there.
He needed to shoot the 3 on the Kenny Goins turnover,
definitely,
though. Needed to shoot it.
1,000% with you. Adam was just making that same point during the break. All right, real quick, before we get to Damon, what's the count with the ACC Big Ten Challenge?
Yeah, so heading into the last day, the Big Ten's actually 4-4 with wins coming from Iowa, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Nebraska.
So it's all tied up?
Yep, all tied up right now.
Knotted at 4 games apiece. Wow, this thing is going down to the wire.
6 games left to go today.
Okay, fun stuff. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is the head coach of the Elite Eight-bound Michigan State men's soccer program as MSU returns to the Elite Eight back-to-back years with a 1-0 win over 13th seed Georgetown. Coach Damon Rensing, coach, you got to be feeling on cloud 9 right now. How you doing, coach?
I'm doing great, Al, man. Thanks for having me on. I was on cloud 9 Sunday night. Now we're back down to reality and getting ready for Saturday.
You know, Damon, I just want to get your reaction to this, because when you look at, you know, what's happening with Michigan State sports right now, and you evaluate program to program. I mean, right now, with back-to-back Elite Eight appearances, I mean, you right now, your program right now is the most successful MSU team in MSU sports. I mean, how does that feel right now for you?
Well, we're glad to help the athletic department. You know, I mean, we're very proud of what our soccer team has done. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case with back-to-back Elite Eights. We've had our women's cross-country team a couple years ago won the national title, obviously.
Right.
Coach Izzo and Coach D. But, you know, like I've said, we're just happy to be a part of the team. And if we can contribute to the success of MSU Athletics, we are certainly happy to do so.
When you evaluate this ride and, you know, going to the Elite Eight again and what happened this past weekend with that win over Georgetown, for you, Damon, was there a moment when you really thought, okay, us going deep in the tourney once again, this is a real possibility? Did you get that feel before the season even started?
You know, it was a really interesting ride. Early on, I thought for sure this was a Elite Eight and beyond type team, and we were really playing well. We were ranked in the top 10 in the country, probably as high as top five for a lot of the year. And then, you know, probably kind of similar to hockey or sports that rely on low scoring, you know, we just went a little cold scoring goals towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And lost to two teams, two other Big Ten teams, Indiana and Maryland, and also Akron, who, by the way, all three of those teams are also in the Elite Eight. So, you know, maybe those losses weren't as bad as maybe we thought. We hit a little slide there towards the end, but I think we kind of refocused. I give our leaders and seniors a lot of credit. And I thought once we came out in that snowpack game against UIC and we saw that ball go in the net 8 minutes in, and I just could see the confidence kind of grow and start to kind of get back to our old form, I thought this team was capable of doing something special.
Out of the wins that you have received so far in the tourney, Damon, you mentioned UIC, of course, fourth seed at Louisville, and now knocking off 13 seed Georgetown. Out of those three games, which game would you say was the most difficult to prepare for? Which game had you on the biggest emotional roller coaster?
Louisville was definitely the biggest emotional roller coaster because we scored a great goal. We went up early. We had the game kind of where we wanted it. They didn't have a ton of great chances, a couple here and there, but that's going to happen. But there was a controversial goal that was scored with 13 minutes left. So when you're 13 minutes from winning on the road and, you know, there was a question if the kid used his hand and hit it in the goal, was it all the way in the goal already? Did it cross the line? So, you know, that kind of, we thought maybe our upset win was taken away from us there with 13 minutes left. But and then to see the guys kind of come back and really start to go at it, and then 3 minutes in overtime to get the win, that was just a huge emotional release too. And I think they started to, that's also a game where it started, the guys started to feel like, hey, maybe the ball's starting to bounce our way. It hasn't bounced our way, you know, these last couple weeks leading up to the NCAA tournament, but you know, maybe it's starting to bounce our way now. And so I think that was definitely the win that kind of catapulted us. And then Georgetown's really, really good team, but I thought we went in there with some good senior leadership and maturity and did what you needed to do to win a game on the road against a top-seeded team.
Yeah, very true. And you know, you get to a point where you really start to feel like, Damon, like, man, this may be the year, right, when destiny and certain things are going your way, right?
Again, I try not to let myself get to that point. you know, I think the best thing that we can do is just, I know it sounds so cliche, but just try to focus on beating a very good James Madison team. But, you know, in a lot of sports, they say defense, we haven't given up a goal in the NCAA tournament so far. So I think that, or we've given one, obviously, the controversial goal, but we played pretty well defensively. And that's kind of the hallmark of our program now.
Well, Damon, I think we lost your connection. Is Damon still there? Do we have you? It's kind of choppy right now. Yeah, I think we got you. It's like a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? I think we got you, Damon. I think we got you back.
Good. Sometimes the Jennison
connection can be a little tough there in Jenison Fieldhouse.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Elite Eight bound MSU men's soccer program, the great Damon Rensing. So Damon, you know, emotionally, I mean, your team getting back to the Elite Eight, you know, they've tasted this before. And I feel like, you know, the second time around now, they're looking at this saying, all right, how do we get over this hump now? Where maybe last year, and again, you can speak to this, maybe last year they're just still riding high. The fact that they are one of the best eight programs that are still dancing in the NCAA tourney. Is it a different feel this time around?
I think so. You know, it's crazy, but we've been four Elite Eights in the last 6 years.
Right.
But these two, I don't think any of our guys made it against the red shirt. Fifth year was there in 14. But I think, you know, just going through last year, I think they've kind of got a taste of it and they won a little bit more. I don't think we were necessarily as happy to be there. We played a very good Indiana team and tied and lost the penalty case away here there last year. So I think guys want to try to do something more. They know that, you know, you've got to earn it. And, you know, one of the quotes that we've kind of been using throughout the NCAA tournament is from an Olympic champion was just, you know, today I gave everything. Anything that's kept is lost forever. So we don't want to keep bending to us. We want to put it all out there on the line. And, you know, that's what I think you'll see our guys do on Saturday.
I love that. And before we get your thoughts on how the prep is coming along when it comes to Saturday's Elite Eight matchup, I do want to ask, I mean, what's the reaction been like when it comes to fans and also fellow coaches within Michigan State Athletics? I'm sure many of them have probably reached out to you and are wishing you good luck this weekend.
It's been awesome. I mean, there was Go Green, Go White all the way out in Georgetown. We had the D.C. Spartan alumni group out there. The fans have been tremendous. We've got a great alumni group, soccer alum, and after every game I've had to respond to about 150 text messages, which is more than willing to do and happy to do. and then, you know, we've got a great coaching family here, and I basically heard from just about everybody, and it's been awesome. You know, coaches of the UIC game came and talked to the team a little bit. So we're a very close group. The support here has been phenomenal. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere here at Michigan State.
So when preparing for an NCAA tourney game, again, the Spartans taking on James Madison this Saturday at 5 p.m., Damon, what is your schedule like? Just kind of take me through when you're preparing and trying to break down film and going through practice with your troops. What is your schedule like trying to prepare for an NCAA tourney game?
Yeah, it's been nice. You play once a week, so you know we kind of recover. We actually didn't get back to DC until Monday night, but you recover a little bit yesterday, and then today we'll practice. And we'll train inside the Duffy Darty. It's awesome that we have a facility like that. You know, the outside's just not quite ready for us. There's still a little snow on the ground.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll quite as well in the snow. But what we usually do is these first day or two, our staff will meet. We already watched. And we'll really focus on us, but maybe just pull in some themes that we think might work well in practice that will translate to our game against James Madison. And then slowly start to kind of incorporate something they do. Honestly, I think this time we focus, I'd say, 80%, 85% on what we do and what we need to do, and then, you know, 15 to 20% on what James Madison does. And just so there's no surprises, you know, I don't think we want to put too much into our guys' minds. We want them to play relaxed and free and just kind of stick to the game plan that we've been using all year.
Definitely. And for, as far as James Madison is concerned, Damon, I mean, they cruised past 12-seed Virginia Tech 3-0 on Sunday evening to advance to the Elite Eight. For the first time since 1995, they picked up their the 13th shutout of the year, improving to 15-4-3. What makes James Madison dangerous, and what do you expect from them come this weekend?
Yeah, they're playing really good soccer. I think they've only given up 4 goals in the last 11 games. I think they're 9-1-1 in those 11 games. They've got some dangerous players in the attack too. So they're a good all around team. They'd be very very comparable and do very well in the Big Ten or ACC coming out of the Colonial League. So we've got a lot of respect for them. You know, and again, I just think they're kind of a well-balanced team. They don't beat themselves. And then they've got a few individuals that can be the difference.
Definitely. And you know, Damon, I don't know how you guys do it, but it is December. Basically December, and you guys will be playing on the 1st of December, and the weather outside is frightful, pun intended. playing in conditions where it's freezing cold, is that ever an issue when it comes to your players?
It can be, yeah. Like you said, the weather outside is frightful, but playing on December 1st is so delightful because it means we're still playing, you know. So, you know, we've got an awesome grounds crew. By the way, just being able to host, that is amazing that, you know, not too many campuses get to host an NCAA quarterfinal match in any sport. But so Saturday we're playing at the Martin Stadium. Our grounds crew have cleared the snow. I think the field is tarped. It'll stay tarped until Saturday, a couple hours before the game. I mean, Amy Foudy, Jared Noodle, and Georgia and the rest of them have been awesome. We'll train in Duffy. I mean, that's where we're lucky to be at a Big Ten school. We've got an awesome indoor football facility outside. We've got a turf facility, so if we want to train in the elements just to make sure our guys are getting used to the cold, we can. But, you know, one of the good things is I've got a bunch of Michigan kids, a bunch of Midwest kids and Northeast kids, and they're used to playing soccer this time of year or are in the cold and in not perfect elements. And so, you know, that's one of our, I think, strengths as a group is we're a pretty mentally tough team, and it'll take some mental toughness, I think, playing in these conditions. It sounds like it's supposed to be about 40 mm-hmm. on Saturday, a balmy 40 and a chance of some rain showers. But I know our guys will be excited, and I think the adrenaline will kick in.
Well, all of us here on campus certainly are very excited to check this one out again. Michigan State and James Madison, an Elite Eight matchup this Saturday, 5 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. Coach Damon Rensing of the Spartans. Damon, wishing you all the luck in the world, my man, and go out there and get that win, all right?
All right. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it so much.
You got it, man. Always great talking with you. All right, let's hit our final break, I should say, and when we come back, we will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll have final thoughts on last night's Michigan State men's basketball loss to Louisville. And also, we'll briefly take a look at the college football playoff rankings, the latest batch that were revealed last night on ESPN. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We come up on now the home stretch here on this November 28th edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Wednesday to you all. You heard my thoughts, and also big thanks to Damon Rensing for taking some time out of his busy schedule. He's got a lot on his plate as his Michigan State men's soccer team prepares for the Elite Eight NCAA tourney matchup. Michigan State taking on James Madison at home, 5 p.m. Saturday at DeMartin Stadium. Thank you to Damon and MSU Athletics for setting up that interview and getting a chance to pick the brain of Damon. Right now, I know I see a Ray from Indiana. I want to get to Ray in just a moment, but, you know, you heard my rant, and if you didn't, where have you been? Shame on you. If you're just now tuning in to Current Sports, as we have just under 10 minutes left, again, you can listen to the show. Podcast version posted around 3 p.m. at WKAR.org or simply go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You heard my rant for those who have been locked in since the start of the hour on Michigan State's men's basketball loss on the road at Louisville. We've got Trevor Toslowski, also Adam Mackey, live here in studio. Just want to get brief thoughts from your guys' perspective on, you know, what you saw last night, what I had to say, whatever. We'll start with Trevor. Your thoughts on Michigan State losing that game on the road?
I mean, I think it's disappointing. Like you said, it's a tough environment. I think there were, if you're Cassius, you cannot foul out, especially with 5 minutes left. They played 10 minutes of that game. They're lucky probably that they didn't lose in regulation because you can't have, like, nobody can create their own offense. Langford, kind of, but
he's really like the only guy. Cassius had that really nice step back. Yeah. I remember in the second half.
Cassius can create his own offense. Josh, a little bit. Usually it's coming off a screen.
Right.
But Kyle can't dribble himself into a shot. McQuaid really can't do that. You know, obviously Lawyer and then your bigs. Also, how did Kenny Goins score 17 in the opener against Kansas and get no shot attempts?
I don't know what's up with that, man. I don't know why. Why not even? No shot attempts? I mean,
attempts,
not
nothing.
One shot that you said, oh, well, let me try this. I mean, I don't understand that at all.
I mean,
that's a weird stat.
If he puts up 5 points.
Yeah.
5 points would have won. Any guy. And
exactly.
Then I thought Gabe Brown didn't play a lot, but hit two.
The two threes.
Two threes.
From the same spot.
Yep.
I mean, that was big.
It's my new shooting guard.
Stop. Let's not start going off the roster.
Oh, I'm
Gabe
just
Brown's
kidding.
A new guy. Okay. I'm just making sure, Jack. But no, I hear you. All right, Adam, your thoughts on what you saw last night, man?
I got a couple things. One, I think that game was basically Texas 2.0. I mean, you kind of said it. It was just a very slow start. Just couldn't score those points at the beginning. Just had a bunch of turnovers, a bunch of fouls. One of the most frustrating games that you could really watch is a game where your team, you know you need those buckets. You know you need to not foul. Mm-hmm. And both of those things don't happen.
Especially gets unranked. I can't stop thinking about this as well. This is unranked Louisville. This may be one of those losses that you look down the road when, you know, you're evaluating, oh, what seed should MSU be? Well, you know what? They lost to Louisville. You know what I mean? I think this may be one of those games that become just a constant pain in the rear end when MSU is trying to vie for maybe a top seed here and there when tourney time starts. I don't know.
And, I mean, Louisville, they're pretty good. I mean, defensively, they're just their length, just like Texas. Their hands are just in there down low.
I'm still not sold on them.
I'm not either.
I think Louisville is an average at best team. And Michigan State should have won that game by double digits.
Chris Mack's a really good coach, though.
He is.
What he did at Xavier.
He is a good coach. I'm a big Chris Mack fan. I love Chris Mack. But that team, the talent on that Louisville team in comparison to Michigan State, come on, G.
Also, I think they won that mentally, too. They did a lot of really smart things.
Play in that environment as well. I mean, that is truly a sixth man out there in Louisville. And the Michigan State just could not handle it.
Yep.
You got anything behind the glass, Jack? Anything?
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, this game was very frustrating to me just after seeing how impressed I was with the Vegas Invitational, and Adam kind of brought it up, you know. The Spartans didn't play particularly well against Texas, I would say, which made it so impressive that they came back from a 19-point deficit and were able to come out with a double-digit win. But you know what? This game was just, it was a little frustrating for me just from the perspective of Josh Langford, that he'd looked improved so far this year before this game, and this game was just kind of a reminder that even if Langford is improved this year, he's still going to be inconsistent. He's still going to have games where he doesn't show up. And he did show up at the very end of the second half and the start of overtime.
Right.
But, you know, he was trying to shoot himself out of a cold stretch, I would say, to start the second half. And it really killed the Spartans offensively.
And what I don't get with Josh, Jack, is when that shot isn't falling, and he showed shades of it. He has shown shades of it earlier this basketball season. Drive to the basket. Because he can do that. He just, like you said, he keeps trying to shoot himself out of a funk.
Yeah.
Try going to the basket, Josh.
Yeah.
Which I don't get that either. Also, Marcus Bingham Jr. didn't play at all. Well, he played 1 minute. I don't get that.
I'm not sure how he would have fared against.
I get it, but, you know,
I can't remember the guy's name, the big guy.
We were just, I was singing his praises on yesterday's show. Like, I want to see more of Marcus Bingham Jr. And we didn't, especially with Nick Ward, I'm still looking for him. I did not get that.
I get to never do another Michigan State game again.
Did you read my notes here, Trevor?
I had to bring up
Dan Dockage. You know, I thought, because I'm seeing Austin, one of our great callers, say, Dan Dockage should be banned from calling MSU games, hashtag Big Ten ACC Challenge. And I thought Dan wasn't bad last night. I'm not a Dan guy. Dan sometimes, I mean, he sounds like, what are you talking about?
I mean,
sometimes,
on the spectrum of what he's done in the past,
this
was not egregious.
It's
still obnoxious.
He's very obnoxious.
Compliment is veiled behind something like, oh, he's doing this, but really look at this other guy who's doing something better.
Yeah, Dan is everywhere. I get it. On Dan's scale, which is not saying a lot, I thought it was a pretty solid game for him last night. All right, real quick, as we have 1 minute left, Ray, I'm only giving you a minute, my man. I'm so sorry, but Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Go Carolina, beat the bullies tonight. Shut Johnny B line up. Hey, what are you guys going to do? Underachieve in basketball like you did football or what? What's going on?
You're just taking shots, huh, Ray? I know. I mean, it's Louisville. It's a game. Michigan State should have shut them out. I don't know. It's early, though, Ray. I'm not going to flip my wig, but this is a bad loss for Tom Izzo's team.
Well, you got to play the bullies, twice this year? You got to get your act together.
I hear you, man. Talk to Izzo, would you, Ray? Give Izzo a call.
Light a fire on your Izzo.
Ray, thank you so much. Ray, call back tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot of college football tomorrow, okay? All right. I want to give a big shout-out to Trevor, Adam, Jack Kerwin behind the glass, and, of course, the listeners out there, Damon Rensing, for joining us throughout this hour. We'll be back at it same time, same place, on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Can you believe that December is on Saturday? Crazy stuff, right? Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin reminding you all to always be easy, people.